Down to Dunk Podcast.
I'd like to welcome back Carson Cunningham to the Down to Dunk Podcast. How you doing, Carson?
Doing well, man. I'm falling out from a Bedlam weekend.
Yeah. I'm an OSU fan. I know you are, too. And I honestly am trying to limit my football conversations right now because it was such a brutal loss.
Well, you got to wonder. I mean, if OU can win in that fashion, you got to wonder if OSU can ever beat them again.
No.
They bring back Whedon and Blackman. I don't know, man. Bob Stoops clearly has Mike Gundy's number.
Yeah, and he just seemed timid against Stoops, and I just hate that. It just makes my blood boil.
He does coach a little more conservatively when he sees the OU logo. There's no denying that anymore.
Well, at least we can see OU get crushed by Alabama.
Well, I'm an impartial observer, so I think OU will. They like the idea of playing in the BCS Bowl until the game starts, I think.
Because
Alabama is just, they're terrifying. They might be, I'm actually a Florida State fan. I grew up following them, and I'm pumped that they're back in the national title game. But
Yeah. They're
probably the best team, but I think Alabama would be favored against Florida State by Vegas. So that tells you just how good Alabama is. So Bob Stoops is going to have to pull some more Sooner magic if they're going
to. Yes. We're going to have to see some more kicker touchdowns in this game.
Yeah.
Okay, so I wanted to start out by talking about the Thunder, and maybe there is a media bias against the Thunder. Like right now, the Thunder are the fourth leading story on ESPN's front page, and they throttled the Pacers last night. I mean, they just destroyed them, and this is supposed to be the Pacers team that's the best team in the league, and it's just kind of a non-story today, and people are like to talk about how the Pacers were on the second night of a back-to-back. But the Thunder on a second night of back-to-back when the Blazers beat them, and they were, and that was their, you know, cover story. And I know that Kobe coming back is a big deal, and then you have the Rudy Gay trade as well. But even Miami beating Detroit is a story that's over the Thunder. Do you think that there's any sort of media bias against the Thunder?
Well, I think bias is a little strong. I think Thunder fans are sensitive anyway. But I mean, I've watched SportsCenter all morning today, and I haven't even seen a highlight yet. of Oklahoma City beating Indiana. And you're right, when Portland beat Oklahoma City, it was like Mardi Gras. Like, we saw Rip City's back. Oh, my gosh. Look, it was all you could see.
Mm-hmm.
So it does seem a little odd that when the roles are reversed, and, you know, we've heard all year, oh, my gosh, Paul George is better than Kevin Durant. Well, that narrative is not even existent anymore, and Kevin Durant just smoked Paul George at home, and we haven't even seen a highlight yet. So I think it comes down to the market size. I think ESPN is a monster. They put whatever's on will get eyeballs, and fact of the matter is, how many times has the San Antonio Spurs ever led SportsCenter?
Mm-hmm. That's true.
That's kind of the boat that Oklahoma City's in, being a small market team. So, I mean, I can't remember ever the Spurs, unless they're in the finals, leading off SportsCenter. So it just kind of comes with the territory. And I find it odd, you know, where's all the national media that were picking the Thunder, you know, third, fourth, fifth in the West? You know, I mean, where did Bill Simmons and Jalen Rose have the Thunder again? Did they have the Bucks over the Thunder?
I don't think they did, but they had the Bucks super high.
They had the Bucks like 15th. But, I mean, every year it's like the national media goes out of their way to – give reasons why the Thunder will not get back to the finals, instead of saying they have Russell Westbrook, they have Kevin Durant, two of the top 5-6 players in the league. They're the team to beat. As long as they have those two, I mean, I know that Russell was coming off an injury this season, so there was a little doubt there, but if you have those two, you're the pick in the West. So I don't know, maybe next, and I guarantee you next year, no matter what happens this year, they're going to look for more reasons not to pick Thunder in the West. So that just kind of comes with the territory.
Yeah, and a lot of their argument is who's going to be their third scorer, and they talk about Jeremy Lamb having to be their third scorer. Well, do they completely ignore Serge Ibaka and Reggie Jackson? Like, people never talk about them in the national media, I feel like.
Yeah, and for some reason they do forget about Ibaka, but especially, I don't think a lot of the national media even knows Reggie Jackson. Now, the very smart, you know, the Zach Lowe's, those type of media that really follow the NBA – they're realizing how good Reggie Jackson is. But as far as, like, I don't know, Jalen Rose, remember Bill Simmons put up pictures of Thunder players. He didn't even know who Steven Adams was. He didn't know who Reggie Jackson was.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the national media doesn't even know who Reggie Jackson is. But if they would watch the games, they would see that Reggie Jackson is making the leap. I mean, this guy, he's one of the best. I think he's the fourth best player on the team. He's been pushing Serge. Serge has been incredible. He's clearly the third, but I think Reggie's right behind him. So I think it's just a lot of times they just don't know. I mean, there's a narrative out there, oh, my gosh, they lost Kevin Martin. Well, people don't realize how good Reggie Jackson is. So
yeah, and how – I don't know. Kevin Martin is a good scorer, but he – you couldn't keep him on the floor in the fourth because of his defense. And even Jeremy Lamb is not – he's not a great defender, but he's not at the level that Kevin Martin was as a bad defender. I think that Lamb has potential to be a good defender.
Yeah, he's not a disaster defensively. And Kevin Martin, as good as he was offensively, he was as bad defensively. And that's why Brooks couldn't play him in certain stretches. And I think Lamb's proven to be a decent defender. He gives you a lot of options in your lineup that Martin didn't, because you're not giving up, you know, you're not playing 4-on-5 on defense anymore. So
yeah, and Brooks trusted him enough to play him that fourth quarter in overtime versus the Golden State Warriors, which was kind of surprising to me. But you know, it made me glad to see that Brooks is willing to take chances with the younger guys.
Yeah, I think he's realized he has to play Reggie and Lamb and those guys and give him a lot of run, because he's going to need him come playoff time. And I've been really impressed with Jeremy Lamb. To start the season, I said, you know, he got extensive run at the end of last season when the games weren't really all that meaningful and he didn't play that well. He's played really well this season. You really have to give him credit. He's been better defensively, like we mentioned, and he's also starting to hit some threes. So he's going to be a huge factor this season for him.
Yeah, definitely. And it's nice to have an additional scorer coming off the bench, because it was always one guy. Like last year was Kevin Martin, because Reggie hadn't really hit that level yet. Before, it was James Harden, and then just a bunch of other role players who, you know, aren't going to give you that much offensively. So it's nice to have a guy who can come in and give you 10 points a night. I think he's averaging 9 points a game so far.
Yeah, and I want to see more minutes for Reggie Jackson. When he comes in and just starts doing his thing, he's really hard to stop. I was joking on Twitter that if he just grew a beard, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference between him and Harden.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
It's very, 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 very similar. I mean, I don't know what's his minutes per game. Do you know off the top of your head?
I don't. Let me look that up. But he does deserve more minutes, and Harden did too. Harden only averaged like between 25 and 30 minutes a game with the Thunder, and he always needed more minutes too. But Brooks, I mean, Brooks loves his vets. He loves playing Perk and Tabo, and those guys are going to eat away at minutes, or at least Tabo is going to eat away at minutes for Reggie Jackson.
Yeah, you're right. Tabo's had a tough year.
Yeah, he has. It's been rugged. Let me look.
You have to wonder how much his contract situation's weighing on him, don't you think? I mean,
that's got to be it.
I mean, he hasn't looked himself. It's not like he's old. I mean, he's still under 30.
Yeah. Reggie's at 24 minutes a game.
Okay, that's better than I thought, but I'd like to see him play 30 to 35.
Oh, yeah, I mean, he's warranted that.
I mean, he's their fourth best player. I don't think it's close.
I mean, he's averaging 17 points, 5 assists, and 5 rebounds per 36. I mean, you got to get that guy more minutes.
Yeah, and he's starting to improve his jump shot and just his overall, like, I kept joking on Twitter. There's this GIF I keep posting. It's like Michael Jackson strutting around with, like, a swagger. I kept tweeting, that's what Reggie's game looks like. And that's so true. You can tell he's just at total ease and at total confidence now. And it's a joy to watch. When he comes in, he just takes complete control of the team. And I really look forward to seeing him and Russell on the floor at the same time. Scott Brooks has already started to tinker with that lineup a little bit. Yes. But those two together, I think, could be deadly.
Yes, no doubt. I know two guys on the floor that can run a pick and roll with KD or with Serge Ibaka. I mean, they're going to be killer in the playoffs if they can keep up this play.
Yeah, Reggie on the pick and roll is about as close to automatic as you can get. He's either going to get to the rim or get somebody a wide open shot. Mm-hmm. So it's a joy to watch. And Reggie's really coming a long way. He's making the leap.
Let's go ahead and go into true false. I've got 6 true or false questions for you. And the first question is, the Paul George versus Kevin Durant argument is legit.
I say false. I mean, as much as I love Paul George, I mean, the guy is, he's unbelievable, and he's clearly becoming a top 5 player in the league. Kevin Durant is the 1B to LeBron's 1A. I mean, he's as close as you can get to LeBron. I mean, he might be the best player in the world. Now, it's hard to beat LeBron, but, I mean, he is so close to being the best player on the planet. Mm-hmm. And Paul George is just now kind of coming on the scene. I'm going to need to see Paul George do what he did last year in the playoffs again. Now, if Paul George leads the Pacers over the Heat and then into the finals against Durant and beats Durant, well, then it's a serious conversation. He might be the best player in the world. But I'm going to need to see a lot more out of Paul George to say he's better than Kevin Durant.
Yeah, I agree. And I think a lot of the argument that people, at least the smart guys, are trying to make is that Paul George's defense is that much better than Kevin Durant's. And that kind of bumps him up a little bit closer to KD. But KD's been doing it for a long time, and he's getting better and better every year. I mean, we've seen it as Thunder fans and somebody covering the Thunder that he is improving, and you know, he's become a better ball handler and a better passer, and he has improved defensively. So it's going to be hard to catch up with KD because he's still so young. And people want to have these conversations. You know, the first conversation was Carmelo Anthony and KD. Well, you know, that's a pretty clear winner there with KD. I think it's just a conversation that people like to have. I don't think it's legitimate either, but I think it's just one of those natural NBA conversations.
Yeah, it's just fun to debate. And I mean, KD did just put up another triple double, mm-hmm. and he's not like, I think he's very improved as a defender. I mean, he gets steals, he gets blocks, his guy never just goes off against him. I mean, he's turned into a very decent defender, and what tips the scales is he's by far the best offensive player in the entire league. Like, mm-hmm. Paul George is a great defender. He's up there with LeBron on the defensive end, but he doesn't come close to Kevin Durant on the offense. I mean, he's a great offensive player, but KD is the premier scorer in the league. He might end up being the premier scorer in the NBA history just because of his length, what he can do. He can do it all.
Yep.
And so that is he's just so far ahead of Paul George on the offensive end that I think it's not really a debate right now.
Yeah, and he torched Paul George last night, which hopefully will quiet this debate at least for a little while.
Do you think KD was tired of hearing about Paul George? I think so.
I think so. He didn't say that, and I don't think he ever would say that, but I think so.
Yeah, I think he's a competitor. He was hearing the Paul George narrative, and I think he made a point to say, hey, drop 36, I'm still around.
Yeah, and Paul George said that KD is his toughest cover in the league last night.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. Okay, second true or false question, the Thunder are underrated.
I think so. I mean, are they on SportsCenter? Are they are they the pick to win the NBA? I don't think it's just it's kind of what we said earlier. It's just team. They're so consistent and they're so good that the people just kind of expect it out of them now. To where it's not really a story, because I mean they're just rolling right along. I mean they haven't lost at home, 10-0 at home. They've mowed through their schedule pretty well. I mean they lost to Portland, but Portland's a good team and. You know, second night of a back-to-back. I mean, they're not going to win 82 games.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they've done as well as you can possibly hope, I think. So, I think they are a little underrated. Because, I mean, who's out there saying that the Thunder are going to clearly win the West? I don't think many people are saying that. And I think I ain't picking against them, that's for sure.
Yeah. I personally think the Thunder are way better this year than they were last year. Just because of the options they have coming off the bench. That they just didn't exist like they did. And we talked about them with Reggie and Lamb and Steven Adams now. Because, I mean, Steven Adams is way better than Thabeet. And, you know, he's getting limited run here and there. And he's still making rookie mistakes. But come April, I think that Steven Adams is going to play a pretty big role going into the playoffs.
Yeah, you're right. We haven't even talked about him. I mean, the upgrade from him over to Thabeet is significant. And especially when those games when Perk, you know, just think back to last season, those games where Perk would get, you know, 2 fouls in the first 5 minutes. Well, then Thabeet's playing a significant chunk of the mm-hmm. game. So just the fact that they have that to go to now if Perk gets in foul trouble or even, if matchups dictate, Adams plays more than Ferk. It's just a huge, huge factor for Scott Brooks. And I think you're right. Like, it's funny. Everyone was, you know, freaking out about the loss of Kevin Martin, myself included. I thought Martin was, you know, I thought losing, going from Harden to Martin to Lamb at the start of the season, and I underrated Reggie, obviously. I thought that was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, I think you're right. They're a better team because they're deeper and they have more options. And I mean, of course, we didn't see Steven Adams coming either. So
yeah,
I think they are better.
And even Perry Jones. I mean, I personally don't understand why Perry Jones isn't playing more, because every time he comes in the game, I feel like he does something positive. And I feel like he could take Derek Fisher's minutes easily, because he could just come in and be the 3-point shooter that Derek is. And I feel like he can do just as much, if not more, than Derek does on the defensive end. I really like Perry Jones. And if he's your guy who's kind of your on the fringe of the rotation, I mean, you know, you have a really good team.
Yeah, I'm confused by the whole Perry Jones situation. Scott played Ryan Gomes over the other night. I mean, what's going on? I don't know what's going on there. But I have been impressed by Perry Jones. He's like you said, every time he comes in, he does something nice. And I will say this. I've been impressed with Derek Fisher this year. I really have.
Mm-hmm.
I've been one of his biggest detractors, but he kind of won me over in that Rocket series. And he's been kind of the closer this year, playing, you know, down the stretch in the fourth quarter. And he's a tough defender. I mean, he really is. He mans people up. So I have no problem with Fisher getting in there in the fourth quarters and stuff, but I would like to see Perry Jones play a little more minutes. I mean, especially because it's just such a long season. Get him some run in there. I mean, just give him some more rest.
And he's been so efficient. He has a 17 PER right now, which I was pretty shocked to see. I mean, he's had such limited minutes. A lot of guys struggle in limited minutes to be efficient, but he's done that. He's been incredibly efficient. I don't know what more he's going to have to do to get in the rotation. And maybe it's just that we have so many good players that he just can't find time for him.
Right.
But I'd just like to see him more.
When he played the first game, I was shocked. I was like, well, they're playing Perry Jones in game one. And mm-hmm. I didn't understand. I thought maybe they were putting him out there the first few games to say, hey, look how good Perry Jones is. You want to trade for him?
Yeah.
But no, he's a good player. I would like to see him play more minutes. And I just, you know, we've been following the NBA now for 5-6 years, and there's still things that I don't get. And one of those is playing Ryan Gomes over Perry Jones. I don't know.
Yeah, I'd rather see Ryan Gomes looking fresh in a suit on the bench than
man, he's sharp. The game. He dresses sharp.
He does. I like that little feature on the bench for the Thunder.
It's a good look.
Question 3, Perkins has proven his worth in the past few games.
He played better last night. He still had a very Perk-like stretch there. What was it against Portland? Portland, he had more turnovers than points, or no? That was New Orleans. I can't remember, but I would say true, because he's a big body. I mean, that's all Perk really is.
Yeah,
I mean, but he's just not very effective on the offensive end or the boards. I mean, he should get way more rebounds than he does, but he did play well. You got to, as much as he gets, crap. He played well last night against Indiana, so you got to give him credit.
Yeah, and he's proven that against teams like that. And the problem is that there's just not matchups like that where, I mean, Roy Hibbert is going to stay on the block. He's not going anywhere else. And there just aren't that many guys in the league like that anymore. So he is valuable against guys like that. And I think if the, you know, a likely finals matchup could be Oklahoma City versus Indiana. And if that's so, you know, Perk will have value there. But if it's Miami again, if they can get back to the finals, Miami does too, you know, I don't believe he has much value against Miami. I would prefer him not to play at all.
Yeah.
I mean, that won't happen.
It's a style thing. It's a matchup thing. You know, Indiana is one of those few teams, you know, there's not very many Roy Hibberts in the league, and he does a good job against guys like that. So, yeah, I guess the answer to your question would be true. He does have value when you're playing those power teams, so to speak, like Indiana, Memphis, you know, but Scott Brooks needs to realize real quick when they're playing the Rockets or the Heat, when they go small, you got to get them out of there, because there's no hope for that. And Scott has impressed me this year by going small a lot. He's proven that he can play on some small lineups, and I think that's when the Thunder are at their absolute best, is when they got Serge at the five, KD at the four, and then any combination of, you know, Reggie, Westbrook, Lamb. That would probably be the best lineup they have, I would think.
Yeah, I agree with that totally. Question number five. Reggie Jackson is playing himself into a contract the Thunder can't afford.
Woo! I say false because I think they're gonna make everything available to where they can. Now that a lot big reason why is they'll probably have to get rid of Kendrick Perkins' contract. That'll free up a lot of money. But I don't think they're letting him walk. Yeah. I think they're gonna do everything in their power to re-sign Reggie, and it'll be interesting to see though, because I mean I forgot who it was that said this. It's Kevin Martin after they beat Minnesota. Kevin Martin said Reggie is a starter in the NBA. That's how good he is. So does it become a James Harden type thing where Reggie would want to take money and go be a starter somewhere else? Because he's not going to start over Russell Westbrook. We all know that. Yeah. So I think he'll stay in Oklahoma City. I think the Thunder will do everything in their power to keep him.
Yeah, I agree. And a lot of people, I don't know if people know that Kendrick Perkins' contract will be gone once Reggie Jackson's new contract begins. Because he's eligible to re-up this next summer, but his contract goes through the end of next season, in which Kendrick Perkins' contract will have expired. And then you can go out and sign, you know, a minimum deal center and let Steven Adams become your, you know, center on a rookie deal. And then you still have Jeremy Lamb on a rookie deal. I think that they can afford it for sure. I think the questions about affording things are going to come when Steven Adams is going to need, you know, a new contract, and the same thing with Jeremy Lamb. But I don't see why the Thunder would let Reggie Jackson go or trade him. I don't know if you could get that much for him, because just like we talked about, I don't know if people understand the value that Reggie Jackson has to this team. So I'm hopeful that they're going to re-sign him this offseason, kind of the same deals that KD and Russ got, where they were able to sign him basically on their first day that they were eligible. And I'm hoping that him and his agent will be as easy to deal with as Kevin and Russ's were, and not like Harden's was.
Yeah, I predict Sam Presti will be on Reggie's doorstep, much like he was Kevin's on the very first minute that the windows opened. Yes. So I don't think we have to worry about that too much.
Yeah. Last question. This team is better equipped to beat Miami than the 2012 team.
Oh, man. I say, yeah, true. But there's two different things at play here. I think that Miami team back then was a lot better than they are now.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Thunder team was a lot better back then than they are now, because they had James Harden. But since the Thunder, or since they're down a little bit, I think they have a much better chance this year as opposed to when they first played them. Because I think the Thunder was better back then, but I think they have a better chance now, just because Miami is kind of, they're kind of getting old. Dwayne Wade is banged up already. They don't have Mike Miller, who the Thunder know can kill them.
Yes.
As much anytime he wants. He's kind of like the Bob Stoops to the Thunder.
Yeah.
And sure. So I don't think the Heat are as good. And so, yeah, I would say they definitely have a better shot this year.
Yeah. The Heat are the second oldest team in the NBA, next to the Brooklyn Nets.
That's stunning.
Yeah. And do you know that Chris Anderson's 35? That always shocks me.
But that doesn't really surprise me, man. He played here in Oklahoma City when the Hornets were here. And that was a long time ago.
It's true.
So that doesn't surprise me all that much. But you're right. I didn't realize, you know, that the Heat were the second oldest. I mean, behind who?
Behind Brooklyn.
They're old. So the Heat are older than the Spurs.
Yes.
I would have lost a lot of money betting on that.
Isn't that strange?
I never would have guessed that.
Yeah. I think that the Thunder's athleticism, I think that they're better equipped than they were in 2012 just because of the options they have and the athleticism. And, you know, if Lamb is just a complete flop in the playoffs, you still have Reggie Jackson coming off the bench, who I just think his confidence is too high for him not to show up. I'm excited to see that. I'm excited to see the Thunder match up against Miami, just because I think that they, you know, have a really good shot of beating them this year, which they haven't beat them since game one of the 2012 finals. So I'm ready to see that matchup and see what this Thunder team have, especially after seeing them just, you know, throttle the Indiana Pacers.
Right, and I really want to see Scott Brooks' rotations against the Heat.
Yes.
Because the last time they played, I think in Oklahoma City, he did his old routine where he would play Perk way too long and would do the same old things. And I want to see this new look Thunder team. And Scott Brooks has shown a willingness to go small. I want to see the strategy. I want to see now. You might argue that he might not show it, tip his hand in the regular season. They might wait till, you know, if they happen to play in the finals. So it'll be tough to judge if he doesn't go small or if he's just doing the same old routine.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm most eager to see is the rotations and how quickly he goes small, because that'll be fascinating to watch.
Yeah, and it is a kind of a Scott Brooks issue with the Heat, and it kind of always has been. The Thunder have always been a team that can go toe-to-toe with the Heat, but it seems like it's a matchup deal that Brooks has kind of been stubborn with. And if he just give in and let, you know, Reggie and Russell run out there with a small lineup, I think that they could beat him.
Well, to be honest with you, yes, I think Scott Brooks' rotations have been a major problem against the Heat, but I think the biggest problem they've had against the Heat is Serge Ibaka.
Mm-hmm.
He has never shown up and played like he can against the Heat. Chris Bosh has owned that matchup on both ends. So if the Thunder are going to beat the Heat, they have to get the Serge Ibaka we've seen so far this season, because every time they play Miami, Chris Bosh usually gets the better of them. So that's a huge, huge, huge matchup for the Thunder.
Yeah, that's true. Well, Carson, thanks a lot for coming back on the podcast. We always love having you on. Stay warm in this cold Oklahoma weather, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, man. I'm turning the heat up as we speak.